Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. And you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. And coming up at the top of the hour, Blake Corum from the Michigan Wolverines, fresh off a 5-touchdown performance, which ties a single-game school record for the Wolverines as they just dominated UConn over the weekend. Michigan, one of the better teams in the nation, ranked at number 4. We know they won the Big Ten last year, finally got over the hump, taking down Ohio State. And now it's, can you do it again? And not only do it again, can you maybe go have some success in the college football playoffs? So Blake Corum going to stop by from the Michigan Wolverines an hour from now. Hot Take Hickey not here today, still suffering from the Colts flu, as I like to call it. So Jack Stern producing this extravaganza. All righty. I got to start off the show today talking about the Denver Broncos. And I think we have discussed this to the fullest about Nathaniel Hackett and how I don't have confidence in Nathaniel Hackett. I think Nathaniel Hackett, and I agree when Brian McFadden joined us early in the week, he looks like he's not ready to be an NFL head coach. And I think that's putting it in a polite, nice way. And I look at Nathaniel Hackett as someone that just looks lost on the sideline right now, in over his head. He's treading water, and he better find a way to tread for a little bit longer and start swimming. Because if he doesn't, then that narrative that's already out there is only going to grow exponentially. And it's very tough to ruin your career as an NFL head coach in 2 games. It's very tough. And I'm not saying his career is ruined yet, but when you look at Nathaniel Hackett, you're now becoming the punchline to every joke. And when you become the punchline to every joke, it's very tough to then gain respect. And the way you do it is through winning. But you're set up in a position where even if you win, I think a lot of people are going to give the credit first to Russell Wilson, then saying, oh, this was a great job by Nathaniel Hackett. I think we're already at that point for this year where if the Broncos get to the playoffs, it's, they did it in spite of their head football coach. When you have your fans in your first ever home game chanting down the play clock and the announcer, Andrew Catalan, just eviscerating you and everything he said was fair on national television, that's a tough spot. Now, if that was just in the 4 o'clock window and that was all that happened, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. It'd be a big deal, but not that big of a deal. But when it came right after what happened the week before in an isolated window on Monday Night Football, when the whole world is watching because Russell Wilson's back in Seattle and you like a bozo elect to kick a 64-yard field goal when it's 4th down and 5 and that is not a gimme. We know it's 64 yards and you had a minute left, not 10 seconds, not 15 seconds. You had a minute left and your timeouts. You tell your franchise quarterback, the guy that is getting paid $200-something million, yeah, we're going to kick it. It's tough for the narrative to change. It really is. It's going to be tough for the narrative to change this season for Nathaniel Hackett. So you may be saying right now, Zach, you're 5 minutes into your show. We all agree on this. We're all saying the same things about Nathaniel Hackett. This is where I'm going to start to pivot. The pressure on Russell Wilson is enormous. Russell Wilson, going into this year, I thought was still a top five quarterback. Now, did I view him the way that I view Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers, Josh Allen? No. But I looked at Russell Wilson as someone that could still be a top five quarterback in this league, definitely a top 10 quarterback. And I think people would rank Russ entering the season anywhere between 5 to 8. So it wasn't like he was in danger of falling out of the top 10. But with the way that he's played through the last year and a half and now bleeding over into this season, it is concerning. Because if you recall the initial gripe in Seattle, which is now 3 seasons ago, Russell Wilson got off to a blazing hot start. People finally thought he was going to get an MVP vote. And I had him that year winning the MVP. I felt great through the first few weeks of the season. But even though the passing yards and the passing touchdowns were prodigious numbers, the interceptions were also pretty damn high as well. And you know Pete Carroll made an effort to say, Russ, we can't let you cook as much as you want to. We need to run the football more. We need to help out our defense. And that did hit a certain nerve with Russell Wilson because he was turning over the football fewer times, but it wasn't as if the Seahawks were winning a ton of games. And, oh yeah, by the way, his touchdown numbers were going down. So that started the end. That was the beginning to the end of Russell Wilson's time in Seattle, and he stuck it out another year, and Russell Wilson and the Seahawks offense last year was not good. Now, when you're in a person of Russ's class, and you were someone that is already a Super Bowl champion, viewed as a top 10 quarterback in the league, if there are questions about your game, you're going to get defensive, but you're going to look for other reasons as to why it isn't me and why it was other people. And I could see Russ's argument. The offensive line, even though he held onto the football way too long in Seattle, was really bad. He got hit a ton. He got sacked a ton. And yes, you had DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, two really damn good wide receivers, but you never had a healthy run game in Seattle in the last few years. But you look at Russell Wilson, I think we all ignored this the last year, year and a half, or we didn't want to accept it, we wanted to put the blame somewhere else, that Russ has not played great. Now, it doesn't mean when you have a drop-off that you're this no good quarterback now, or you're this crappy, rotting quarterback. No. The guy is still a good quarterback, but when they give up all that capital, the Broncos, to go get you and all the draft picks, and they pay you the $240-something million, they're expecting you to be great. They're expecting you to be elite. They are expecting you to be the franchise quarterback, not only off the field, which he does everything perfectly, but also on the field. So for Russell Wilson, right now, yeah, Nathaniel Hackett is saving you from getting a lot of the blame for this bad start. And sure, in the first game, Javonte Williams has to hang on to the football. Melvin Gordon has to hang on to the football. But when you consistently just deflect, 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 and put the blame on someone else, eventually it's got to come back around to you. And I'll make a similar comparison. Now, this guy has not dropped off in the regular season. He's gotten better and better in the regular season, and we've seen the last 2 years him win back-to-back MVPs. But for a while, when we talked about Aaron Rodgers' shortcomings in the postseason, it was, hey, special teams couldn't recover an onside kick. Hey, they blew a lead in a championship game. Hey, the defense was awful. And that narrative was out there, and it wasn't wrong. But eventually, as you've seen the last 3 years with Aaron Rodgers, the entire team got blown out in the NFC title game. Then it was, oh, it's all Gutekunst doing stupid things, and that's on Aaron Rodgers. Okay, you get that for a year. But the last 2 years, the facts are the facts. that the reason why the Green Bay Packers didn't advance to a Super Bowl the last 2 years was because of their offense. 2 years ago, NFC title game, Tom Brady threw three interceptions in the second half. And I've said this 9,000 times on this radio show, Aaron Rodgers had the ball back with down 5 points, three and out. That's on the quarterback. I know at the end of the game, everyone goes, oh, Matt LaFleur, what an idiot. And you're not wrong for giving the ball back to Tom Brady, kicking the field goal, making an 8-point deficit to 5. But once again, Rodgers could have ran for a first down, got a touchdown. They were stalling in the red zone once again. And at the last chance, a coach in a dumb move elected to kick a field goal. But that second half, Rodgers didn't elevate his game. And last year, up against the 49ers in the divisional round, Aaron Rodgers got greedy, went for Davante Adams. He had Alan Lazard wide open. And I know we could talk about the special teams and how it wasn't good in that game. You can't just go on one touchdown drive when you're Aaron bleeping Rodgers. So, the last 2 years, I think some started to realize, yeah, Aaron's got to play better in the postseason. When for so many years it was, special team's fault, defense's fault, McCarthy's fault. And you weren't wrong when you said that. But eventually you could only deflect the blame for so long. And now with Russell Wilson, this is gut check time. The last year and a half, 2 years, people blame Pete. People blame the offensive line. People blame the bad Seattle team. And they weren't wrong. But now you got everything that you wanted this offseason. You wanted to go to Denver. You're now in Denver. And through the first two games, this team, now I didn't pick them to make the playoffs this year, but this team has been disappointing. You lose to Geno Smith and the Seahawks. And then last week, yes, you win, but it felt like a loss. 16-9 over the Texans? You needed to gut it out up against Davis Mills and the Houston Texans? Come on. So these next 4 weeks, I don't want to hear, and we'll talk about Hackett because that dude just trips over his own 2 feet. So it makes for some fun content. I get that. But I want to zero in on Russell Wilson. And I want to see Russell Wilson, who I still believe could be a great quarterback, how he's going to respond. Because the next 4 games or so for the Denver Broncos, it's not as if it's the most brutal schedule in the world, but you don't have any easy victories. You get San Francisco this week on Sunday Night Football, which, by the way, once again, isolated window for Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett, where if they're playing at 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock, we still see it. We still talk about it. But you got a lot more eyeballs on you when it is the Sunday Night Football game, which it is this week. So you got San Francisco coming in, Jimmy G at quarterback, which is better for the 49ers than Trey Lance this year. Unfortunate Trey Lance injury. And you got a good 49ers defense. You got to go win that game. Then the following week, a Raiders team, I know they're 0-2, but they got a ton of offensive talent. A defense, though, that's not great. Then you get the Colts. Thursday night, isolated window, primetime game. And that Colts game, the Colts right now, they can't stop anyone on defense. Their offensive line stinks, and Matt Ryan is washed up. And they got, other than Pittman, no one that really scares you in the passing game. Then finally, you increase the competition, AFC West showdown, Monday night, isolated window against the Chargers. These next 4 weeks are going to define what the Broncos could do. And I don't want to see 2-2. You didn't make this move to be average. I'll give you a loss, one loss. In the next 4 weeks, I want to see 3-1. And I want to see this head coach get his damn act together. And I want to see the star quarterback start playing like a star quarterback again. Because I referenced Brian McFadden earlier. He said right now, Russell Wilson is not playing like a superstar quarterback. He's got to find that superstar gene in him once again. Because if he doesn't, you think we've been talking a lot about this now. It will only get louder and louder and louder. And then maybe some people will say, hey, the Seahawks are right. Now, I don't want to give too much praise to the Seahawks because they're going with Geno Smith every week. So their plan right now is not good at the quarterback position, but they had doubts about Russell Wilson. And those doubts started, which were crazy to me, but maybe And I don't want to say they're definitely being proven true because this guy could still turn his career. I don't want to say turn his career around, but he can still turn this narrative around. The guy's still a damn good quarterback. But if this continues the next 4 weeks, it's going to get ugly. And it's going to get ugly quick. Because right now, all the blame's on Hackett. These next 4 games against teams that you could beat, you got to find a way to go 3-1. I want to see what the Broncos are going to do these next 4 weeks. What do you think they will do? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And where is your belief level for this season with Russell Wilson in Denver with the Broncos? I said it before the year, and I'll continue to echo it right now. When you bring in a new quarterback and you bring in a new coach, not just one or the other, but you bring in a new quarterback and a new coach, there's going to be some growing pains. And when you're in a crowded AFC, when you're in a loaded AFC West, that's why I thought those growing pains was going to be the reason why they would be on the outside looking in come playoff time. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. This time of the year, we don't usually talk that much baseball. Now, when the postseason comes rolling around, we will be all over the MLB postseason. But when you're in the midst of the start of a college football season, the start of the NFL season, that's where most of the attention does go. But right now, when it comes to Major League Baseball, I'm locked in on two things. And I love when it comes to Major League Baseball, when you have a big personality. Because there's a lot of times now in the sport where people get so caught up in pace of play. How do you make all these rules to change the game and increase the speed? As a baseball fan, and I go to probably 15 to 20 baseball games a year. I've been to a bunch of baseball games this season. Being a big Mets fan, the Mets are good this year. Citi Field, it's just an awesome stadium to go to. And baseball was my first love, really, when it came to sports. Like, I love football. Football's my favorite sport now. But my first real sports memories was going to the ballpark with my mom and my dad and them taking me to, at the time, Shea Stadium. But recently, and what I really think is holding baseball back, even though it's been a fun season, is the way that we look at their superstars isn't the way that we look at NFL superstars, NBA superstars as well. You could identify way more NFL superstars and NBA superstars than Major League Baseball superstars. But for Aaron Judge, someone that lives in New York, someone that has gone to a decent amount of Yankees games and has followed Aaron Judge's entire career, just his presence, since he's so tall and he's so big and he has that big smile too, it is a personality, it is a presence that is a force. And there's not a lot of presence like that in Major League Baseball. Like Ohtani, bigger than life. We know that with what he's able to do in the diamond. But a guy like Mike Trout, Mike Trout is one of the better baseball players in the history of the game. Now, he's easily, the last 10 years, the best baseball player in the game. But for Mike Trout, if he was walking down a street, you may not even recognize him. And it's nothing against Mike Trout, but he doesn't have this great personality, and they don't market him well enough. So you get through some of these stars, and it's a shame what happened to Fernando Tatis Jr., which, when I say a shame, he did something stupid and then blamed it on ringworm. But that was the guy that I was so excited to see return this year because that's a dude that's a star and has already made a big impact on the sport. But when you get to Aaron Judge, it's almost like he's a video game. He's right now the Triple Crown leader. And he's smashing 60 home runs. He had a 60th home run last night. And now, when you get into Yankee lore and also history, the most home runs in the history of the American League, Roger Maris, 61. So he's one away from tying Roger Maris, and then he would be two away from breaking it. But as now all stats are in baseball, you get into the big picture, the all-time single-season home run record. Some will say that it's Roger Maris. Others will say, well, it's Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds hit 73. Now, I think this just depends on how old you are because I grew up in the steroid era. And even though we look now back at the steroid era and we look down on it and we frown upon it and no one wants to like say, yeah, that was my era and everything, it did save the sport of Major League Baseball. The home run chase between McGuire and Sammy Sosa, then the moonshots that Barry Bonds would hit, that saved the sport. And we know that it does have a stain on the sport.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important. Give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important. Give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in the room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. Find top-tier tech talent fast, just like the kind of people who developed this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important. Give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Still witness what we saw, and if you're being honest, enjoyed what you saw. Now, I could understand the arguments both ways, where people will go, Maris is the true home run king in a single season, or it's Barry Bonds. But for me, since I grew up in that Bonds era, and even though I love Aaron Judge, this chase, and maybe it's because I'm not a Yankee fan and didn't grow up as a Yankee fan, but I don't hate the Yankees. This home run chase for Aaron Judge, it's so cool what he's doing, but my takeaway isn't, oh, wow, he's about to break the Maris record. My takeaway is Aaron Judge is having a bleeping awesome season. That's just the way that I've been processing it. Because the history to me, yes, it's an American League record, and you get into the overall record, but I don't know who to say who is and who isn't the true home run king when it gets into a single season. And that's just one of those arguments where baseball purists, older people will go, it's the guys that were clean. And then people in my era will go, well, what, am I just supposed to forget about all those great memories that we saw? And that's why for years, not to make this a Hall of Fame discussion, I've said put all the steroid guys in. If you had the stats, you go in. Now, the job of the Hall of Fame is to tell the story. So when Barry Bonds, if he ever gets in, or Roger Clemens, pitcher, ever gets in, and Roger Clemens, my least favorite athlete of all time, I can't stand the guy. Should be in the Hall of Fame, though. It's up to us to then tell the story. It's up to the writers to then tell the story. It's up to baseball fans to remember it. But they were still great players, even though they cheated. So this is cool. I'm not undermining it. I'm not saying it's awful. It's cool to see what Aaron Judge is doing. It's one of the greatest seasons you're ever going to see, and he's going to win the MVP. And he should win the MVP. And to me, it's not really much of a discussion. I know about a month ago, a few weeks ago, it was Ohtani or Judge. You got to go with Aaron Judge for MVP. But the way that we used to watch some of these chases, I feel like it's different because now it's like you're chasing two different eras. You're chasing the guys that were clean and then the guys that weren't clean. So it gets a little bit confusing as a baseball fan. But Judge is going to break the Maris record. And if you're a Yankee fan, that's enormous. If you're a fan of the AL, that's enormous. And then some are going to say, no, he's the real single-season home run king. But he's not going to get to 73. If he does in the final 2 weeks of the season, that would be just unbelievable. But he's currently at 60. So last night, I heard this call, and I saw it on Twitter, and I reposted it. So you have the Yankees broadcast on WFAN in New York by John Sterling, who's a longtime broadcaster. Everyone knows John. He's a legend. On the YES Network, which is the Yankees network, you have Michael Kay. But I thought the best call from last night, and I could maybe understand one or two words from my brief time in Spanish class, growing up as a kid and taking it in middle school and then high school, was from our very own good friend of mine. And he works here in the CBS Sports Radio Odyssey family. And that is Ricky Ricardo, who is the Spanish play-by-play voice for not only the New York Yankees, but also for the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you remember a few years ago, Jake Elliott hit a ridiculous game-winning kick up against the Giants. It was like 60-something yards. And he was the guy that was screaming, "Si, senor! Si, senor! Si, senor!" And it was a great call. And Ricky does a phenomenal job. And I always love when we play broadcast calls that aren't in English, because you hear the excitement of the announcer's voice. You have no clue what he's saying, but you know something spectacular and awesome is going on. So when Aaron Judge last night hit his 60th home run of the season, this is what it sounded on the Yankees Spanish radio network.
Swing. Ahí va el patazo. Profundo. Por el izquierdo. Olvídala. Esa se va. Se va. Y se fue. Échale sazón. Eso es el jorrón número 60. Muévete, Babe Ruth. Que hay otro con 60. El juez, Aaron Judge, culpable de llegar a 60 jorrones.
So there you go. Aaron Judge last night hit his 60th home run, which equaled Babe Ruth's most home runs in a single season. We know in the AL, Roger Maris has the most home runs in a single season for now with 61. And Judge is going to break that. He has a chance tonight as that game is about to get underway, New York Yankees and the Pirates. And then after that, the Yankees do have a four-game series up against the Boston Red Sox. All those games are in New York at Yankee Stadium. So the quest to break the AL home run record is on, and it's definitely going to happen, barring injury for Aaron Judge, who's just having a monster, monster, monster season. And you want to talk about betting on yourself. Aaron, remember the narrative before the start of the season? $30.5 million for Aaron Judge on that contract that he turned down per year. And everyone was like, "Oh, it's a fair offer. How much more money are you looking to get? What are you doing? What's going on?" And very quickly, that narrative has changed. Because now the New York Yankees, who are the New York Yankees, not a cheap organization, not a poverty franchise, they better find a way to get an Aaron Judge deal done in this offseason. Because if they don't, and you see Aaron Judge, I don't know, in San Francisco or in L.A., or somewhere else, that will be a brutal, maybe even in Queens with the Mets, so that would be something. But that would be a brutal, brutal, brutal look for the Yankees team, because he's put this organization on his back this year. And what a game that was last night. Judge hits the home run to make it 9-5 in the ninth, and then you did have the walk-off grand salami by Giancarlo Stanton. So you have the Judge home run chase, and then you also have Albert Pujols chasing history as well, and he's going for 700 home runs, which it's crazy that he's even at this position because he's been red hot the last month, month and a half, and now we were talking about this like 2 months ago. Is it going to happen? We didn't think so, but now he only needs two more home runs, and you look at the Cardinals schedule the rest of the way, two more games with the Padres, one tonight, then you have three against the Dodgers, two against the Brewers. You end the season, though, with back-to-back series up against the Pittsburgh Pirates. If you're on the Pirates at that point and the Pirates are out of it, you just got to throw some meatballs, some folly floaters to Albert Pujols, because I would like to see him get to 700. And I know he said he won't, but if he doesn't get to 700, if he's stuck on like 699, or if he just stays here at 698, would he come back for next season? He said he would not a few weeks ago. And if that's the case, I don't think we're going to look back at Albert Pujols any differently. Oh, He was one short of 700. The dude's an all-time great player, has done it the right way, has been great for baseball. It kind of actually stinks that he did go to the Angels. I know he's back with the Cardinals. That seems like a guy that should have spent his entire career with the St. Louis Cardinals. And you look at the Angels, all the great players they've had throughout the years, whether it's Pujols, Clearly, Mike Trout, Ohtani now. I know they brought in Rendon, and it hasn't worked out. But they have always been aggressive, and it's amazing how Mike Trout still only has one playoff appearance, and that's in three games, and his team got swept. So you got a little Aaron Judge home run watch tonight. He had 60 last night. And you do have Albert Pujols trying to get two more to get to 700 for his career. And for whatever the reason is, it's bizarre. Because I think more people probably are entertained when it comes to the Judge home run chase. I found myself more engaged in the Pujols chase to 700. And maybe that just goes back to what we were talking about, that conversation. Yes, it's an AL record. And yes, that's right there for Roger, right to beat Roger Maris's record of 61. But when you look at the totality of it, it's like, okay, I know in the back of my mind, I saw Bonds hit 73, but no one wants to say that was clean because it wasn't clean, and no one wants to accept that. So it makes you feel a little bit conflicted where, yes, it's really cool for the AL record. It's great to see someone hit 60, but then in the big picture, we know he's not going to get to 73 just because of the way that Barry Bonds did go about approaching his baseball career and what he took. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, Nick Chubb is saying he's sorry for scoring a touchdown. I got a problem with that. I understand why he said it, but let's go back and look at that Browns just choke job to the JATS Jets, where they were up with 90 seconds to go, up by 13 points, and the Jets ended up winning 31-30. Blake Corum, who had five rushing touchdowns, which ties a school record for the Michigan Wolverines last weekend, is going to stop by in 18 minutes from now. So looking forward to chatting it up with Blake, as I've been all over Michigan the last few years. My two best friends went to Michigan. So now living back in New York City the last 3 years, and I know you had COVID in between, so it got a little bit hairy. But ever since getting back to New York City since 2019, I've been watching those Michigan games with my friends, Jason and Alex. And it's been fun because it's wild. You have that Michigan team, which the narrative was you can't beat Ohio State, you can't beat Ohio State, you can't beat Ohio State. And then to see them do it last year was so bleeping cool. And now you look inside the Big Ten, it's really just Ohio State and Michigan this year. Yeah, I know Penn State's off to a good start and they go beat Auburn. I'm not a believer in Wisconsin. Minnesota has a solid program with PJ Fleck. Michigan State just got embarrassed over the weekend up against Washington. This Big Ten, there's a reason why they're the third and fourth team in the country in the AP poll, in the Michigan Wolverines being four and then Ohio State being three. And it does seem inevitable that we're on this collision course for at the end of the year where you're going to be getting what I think is an undefeated Ohio State team and an undefeated Michigan team going at it. And once again, winner goes to the Big Ten championship. Winner's going to get a spot in the college football playoff because they'll win the Big Ten championship the following week. And the loser probably going to be on the outside looking in because you look at it, and it is a Take 5 Wednesday, so I'll give you my top five teams in college football. You look at the lay of the land when it comes to the college football playoff this year. I think we could all be pretty safe in saying that Alabama and Georgia is going to get in. So that leaves two more spots open. The Big Ten champion's going to get in. And then after that, all right, like you look at the Big 12, Oklahoma is really strong. I'm not a believer, even though they're 3-0 in Iowa State this year. And I know Kansas 3-0, but like let's pump the brakes there. Oklahoma State always has a solid program. Baylor lost that game to BYU. So if I had to place a bet on a team for the Big 12 to get in the college football playoff, it would be Oklahoma right now with Dylan Gabriel. I like Brent Venables a lot as well. But if that team, if any of those teams get two losses, you're not going to get in unless if it's just one of those funky years, and we know no two-loss team has ever got into the college football playoff. And then you look at the Pac-12, USC's looking really good. And I know a lot of us have counted Florida out, Utah out because they lost to Florida. But you look at USC, and they got to pick it up in terms of competition. You can only play who's on your schedule. But USC, that offense is surgical right now. And it's like a hot knife through butter through so many people's defenses. And Addison, we know how great of a wide receiver he was. You know, it was at Pitt, and it's continuing at USC, no surprise. Caleb Williams, we saw the signs last year. We saw him take over Oklahoma. You know how good of a coach Lincoln Riley is. I'm kind of rooting that USC gets in the college football playoff this year. It'd be good to have the Trojans back into the party, but that offense is so fun that I think it would be great to see them in a college football playoff. And it would be good, even though it's tough in year number one, to assert your dominance for Lincoln Riley to do that. So that's kind of the lay of the land in college football. Clearly Alabama, clearly Georgia, they have your attention. I know Alabama survived up against Texas. Then Ohio State, Michigan, I'm hoping both those teams are undefeated before their game on Thanksgiving weekend, the game in the horseshoe this year. And then after that, it's like, all right, what other teams really catch your attention? And so far, I don't want to overlook Kentucky. Kentucky, we've had a lot of Kentucky guests on. Will Levis, Mark Stoops. But Kentucky, you're not going to get three SEC teams in. So then you look at the other conferences, and I like what I'm seeing out of Oklahoma, especially when early up against Nebraska, you thought, okay, that's going to be a game. They score early, and then they just annihilated them. And I know Nebraska's not in a good state right now. And then you also, once you dissect Oklahoma and you look at another team, it's, okay, USC as well. That those are kind of, right now, I could only see.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important. Give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important. Give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to improve your bottom line? The Room can match you with a top financial analyst. Trusted by small businesses, startups, and entrepreneurs, The Room's virtual financial analysts are highly trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Drive business growth with a virtual financial analyst from The Room. It's like listening to all the financial podcasts rolled into one. Get started today at trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important. Give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Oklahoma, and USC, like those are the only six teams right now that I'm considering for the college football playoff. Now, can it change? Can more people get into the party? Can Utah beat USC and then get back into the fold? Absolutely. But right now, that's just the schools that I'm zeroing in on and evaluating when thinking about how we're going to cut this thing and trim this thing down to four teams. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So Blake Corum from the Michigan Wolverines is going to stop by coming up at the top of the hour at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on CBS Sports Radio. So we all know that the Cleveland Browns had one of the worst losses that you could ever suffer. And I was at Patriots, Falcons, 28-3 comeback. Clearly, it is not as good of a comeback as that because that was in the Super Bowl. But with that being said, a team that is up with under 90 seconds to go by 13 points, that is a given victory. No, like at least 28-3, he had a whole second half to come on back, a late in the third quarter to come on back in the fourth quarter. It was ridiculous of a comeback and definitely the best sporting event I've ever attended. But when you truncate that to say it's a 13-point lead with under 90 seconds to go, that's a victory 10 times out of 10. There's not even a thought that the other team could come back, especially with how tough it is now to recover an onside kick. But the Browns just projectile vomited in the final 90 seconds. Corey Davis, touchdown, 60-something yards. Onside kick recovery for the Jets. And then Garrett Wilson, who's starting to look like he's going to be a stud in this league, gets the receiving touchdown. They make the extra point and they win. But when Nick Chubb does score that touchdown, to put the Browns up by 13 points, they missed the extra point. Cade York, life of a young kicker. You were the hero after the Panthers game and then the zero because you missed that extra point. But even when you miss that extra point, it shouldn't mean that you lose that game. Even when Nick Chubb scores the touchdown, I know people are getting on him. Oh, he should have just gone out at the 1 or 2 yard line and taken a knee and all that. Sure, you could say that. And then the Jets probably don't even get the football back. But Nick Chubb scores that touchdown when they were 12 yards out, first and 10 at the 12. Yeah, he could have gone out at the 2 yard line. And there was under 2 minutes to go at that point. But he scores a touchdown. If you score a touchdown, you go up by 13. We're sitting there with 1:55 to go. Ball game, it's over. And yes, percentages, oh, there's a 0.00001 chance that maybe they could come back. But that's not actually like a real chance that you look at and you're shaking in your boots saying, man, Chubb made a mistake. But after you have a terrible collapse like that, you look for people to just blame. And for whatever the reasons are, I've seen a lot of talk on social media. Nick Chubb, what are you doing? How don't you run out of bounds? Oh, stop it. You have 13 points with under 2 minutes to go. Yeah, I get it. Chubb, if he goes down, they don't get the ball back. But he gets a touchdown. You should be able to protect a 13-point lead up against old man Flacco and the garbage Jets. You should be able to protect that lead. But somehow, some way, through incompetence and then give the Jets credit too, the Cleveland Browns choked it up. So earlier this week, Nick Chubb did address reporters, and he talked about not going out of bounds and scoring that touchdown there. This is what he had to say.
I think the first down marker was at the 1 or 2, and the goal line right there too. I mean, I probably could have got down, probably been third and inches, but I mean, it probably possibly could have happened. I couldn't have went out of bounds because people were behind me. They would have pushed me in or something like that. So probably should just drop down after I made the cut.
You didn't need to drop down. You didn't need to go out of bounds. I'm fine with him in that spot. And I think it is a gross overreaction for anyone saying, especially when you're in the moment, and it's not as if you just need the first down and the game's over and you're at like the 30-yard line. You got to stop your body while running and fall down at the 2, at the 1, 1.5. It's easier said than done to just stop like that out of nowhere. But still, it's like I can't believe the narrative this week. And I'm not saying that it's 98% of the Browns fan base, but a good amount of people, and sometimes Twitter doesn't reflect the actual thinking of society, but I can't believe how many people are getting on Nick Chubb for not going out of bounds. Like, I'll sound as if I'm a broken record player over and over and over and over again. If I just went to you on any given football Sunday and told you, your running back's going to score a touchdown, not give you any of the timeouts, not give you where you're on the field, but if I'm going to tell you, with under 2 minutes to go, your running back is going to score a touchdown to put you up by 13. Do you win the game? There's not even a way that you envision that you're going to lose. You know, it'd be one thing if they're only up by 2 points. It'd be one thing if they're only up by, like a point. I get it, you make it an 8-point game and the other team gets the ball back, gets a touchdown, gets 2-point conversion, different. This made it a 2-score game. And look how much had to go wrong for then people to say, yeah, but let's get back to the beginning. Nick Chubb scores that touchdown. Stop. Just ridiculous. Like, if Cade York makes the extra point, which still, I wouldn't be killing Cade York. You still up by 13, you still win the game. But if he makes the extra point, then the Jets have a decision. You go for 2, or you kick the PAT. But then you allow a touchdown wide open. You allow an onside kick. You allow another touchdown. How about getting on the defense? How about getting on the special teams? How about getting on anyone but Nick Chubb? And it's jackassery to me. It's the definition of stupidity. That now when we dissect this, and now when we look back at it, and hindsight 2020, unless if you were in that moment screaming at your television, go down, go down, go down. I don't want to hear from you several days later that, oh, you know, my football analysis tells me that he should have gone down. Stop. You have 13 points. 13! With under 2 minutes to go. So I don't need to have Nick Chubb apologize. I don't have to hear, oh, yeah, I probably should have gone down. No! Score the touchdown! Because everything that needed to go wrong for you guys to lose the game did go wrong. And I don't look back and go, man, only if Nick Chubb would have just fell down in that spot. It's ridiculous to make it 13 and that guy's getting some of the blame. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, Michigan football 3-0. The reigning Big Ten champs just dominated as expected. UConn in the Big House. Blake Corum tied his school record, 5 rushing touchdowns in the game. And he's going to join us when we come on back in 5 minutes across many of these great CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app.
You know those headlines that make you stop scrolling and actually read an article? I'm Mike Rogers. Those are the kinds of stories I'm diving into on my podcast, Something Offbeat, like the caterpillar infestation in Maine that had us rethinking our relationship with insects.
We were talking about a time 300 million years ago, if you can imagine. There was a dragonfly. It had a 2-foot wingspan.
Just search for Something Offbeat in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.
Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in the room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. Find top-tier tech talent fast. Just like the kind of people who developed this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.